Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's unbelievable to me. Look, this guy was always a poet, so ahead of his time. Welcome to The Savage Nation. And I couldn't think of a better time and a better song to play than The Times They Are Changing by Bob Dylan. Because the one line that kept coming back to me was, "For the loser now will be later to win." And that is the beginning of The Savage Nation today, because there's so much that I want to talk about. And it may sound as though I'm discursive and going in circles, but I'm not. It's all connected. I wake up this morning and I see the ratings come in from June, and I'm the number one talk show host in New York City again. And it's a big story, and yet nobody will talk about it. In the old days, this would be a huge story. Champagne would be flowing. Billboards would be up. It'd be the buzz of the radio industry. But now it's hush-hush, my darling. You know, it's said that politics is war without bloodshed, and war is politics without bloodshed. None other than the butcher, Chairman Mao, said that. Listen to that one. Politics is war without bloodshed, and war is politics without bloodshed. Well, right now, we are all in a political war, as you well know. Everyone that is a conservative is under assault and under attack. Do you see a pattern of trying to take out top conservatives in America? I do. And there's no better example than that of the story Fox News' Roger Ailes sued for sexual harassment by ousted anchor Gretchen Carlson. Now, I have to ask you something. The woman works for the network all these years, and then finally they dismiss her, and then suddenly it's, "Oh, my! Oh, my! He sexually harassed me!" It stinks. The whole story looks like garbage. According to the complaint, when Carlson met with Ailes to discuss the discriminatory treatment to which she says she was being subjected, Roger Ailes stated, "I think you and I should have had a sexual relationship a long time ago, and then you'd be good and better, and I'd be good and better." Now, who in the world speaks like that, other than a lawyer who went to the fourth grade and got a night school law degree? The whole thing stinks. And I'll tell you something else. We're living in a stinking world right now, that all a woman has to do is make up a story and get a shyster lawyer and bring a man down. Whether he's guilty or innocent, he's already guilty. It's sickening. And that leads me to a question. Here's the question to my audience, my big audience that makes me the number one talk show host in New York City for June and many other months. Have you ever been subject to a false sexual harassment claim out there? Is anyone listening to the Savage Nation show right now who would like to talk about it? Because, you know, Hillary's running as Miss Woman, the poor, underprivileged, oppressed woman, Hillary Clinton, and she's going to make it better in America for all the quiet, suppressed women in America. She's really running for the women and children. Are there any men out there who have ever been subject to fake sexual harassment claims or care to talk about it? Step right up, 855-400-7282. But that's not really what, it's not the only thing I want to talk about. Believe me, it's not the only thing. It's one of the things I want to talk about. There's so much else on my mind. So many other things that I really want to get to, and I'll tell you what they were. I'll tell you what's on my message board that I put up today. Are you ready? Are you ready for it? Do real friends still exist today? How many do you really have? See, when I was a kid, you say, "Well, why are you talking about it?" Because we're living in an age where I don't know if friends exist anymore. I'm talking about real friends, not people you meet, who you have a little hello. I'm talking about real friends who you can count on when your back is against the wall, who would literally, I don't say take a bullet for you, but stand up for you. Let's put it to you that way. Because when I was like 11, 12, I told you this story. The toughest guy in the neighborhood was a bar owner, which was unusual in the circle that my parents had around them, because most of the people around them were small merchants, immigrants, small merchants, worked their way up from total poverty, immigrants. Maybe a lot of them were in the needle trades. They were not associated with the judges. They were not associated even with the doctors in my socioeconomic world. We didn't know doctors and dentists other than when we were sick or needed a tooth fixed. They, you know what I'm saying? They were above us. We were lower middle class, because as kids I would ask, What class are we, Dad? And they would get nervous because, you know, no one wanted to say we're low class. How do you define class anyway? Well, in America, it's very clear it's based on income. And make no mistake about it, because if it was based on behavior, the vermin that are on the top would be on the bottom. If it's based on behavior, the garbage that you see in Hollywood, they'd be at the top of the social order. Or the goons with the basketballs and the chains hanging off their noses, they would be at the top of the thing every day, another show about them. No, so in America, it's very clear, the more money you have, the higher you are in class. Okay, you can comport yourself like a total moron and be the lowest class person. A bum has got higher class than most of them. But that's not what I was trying to say to you. Here's what I was trying to say to you. So I may as well say what I'm trying to say to you. So this guy who owned a bar, which was unusual in the circle in which I grew up, who was a certifiably street fighter tough guy, which again was unusual in that group of men, the kids would gather around him because boys like tough men. They don't really like weaklings. They don't like them. They tend to gravitate towards the tough kids and the tough men and then tribe. That's how it works. And it's an instinctual thing. Boys like tough men. So the boys would hang around, everyone would get together. This was very rare. Once in a while, go out to the guy's house and talk. And he would always tell the boys interesting things. He would say, don't ever be afraid to get into a fist fight. The most you could do is lose a tooth. Like, that was so odd to hear from a grown man when I had an upbringing which said, always avoid a fight. Never mind, don't lose a tooth. You know, stuff like that. This guy was the opposite. So he said, you know, things like that to us. And he also told us, because I think he was going through a lot of problems in his life with some guy stabbing him in the back. He said, when you get older, because he knew we were all close, it was a group of boys, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 boys, were very tight with each other. You know, at that age, you have a lot of friends. And he said to us, listen, guys, when you get older, you're going to find out that if you could have, you can count the friends you have, not on one hand, but one or two people. If you can count on one or two people as your friends, you'll be a very lucky man. Now, we didn't know what he meant by that. Because who would ever think that as you got older, you'd have no friends? Did you ever believe that? And yet, most of you listening have no friends. There are exceptions. You'll get the calls that tell me you have lots of friends and you're happy. I get it. I understand that. But there's another little secret you have to know about radio. And since I know more about radio than anybody you're ever going to listen to, for two reasons. One, I just know more about radio. I've been in it for 22 years. I've survived all of the rough white water. I've risen to the top. I'm at the top of my field. I know a little bit about the business, and I want to tell you something about the business. As much as I love my callers, or any callers to any radio show, they do not represent the audience. Did you know that? I want you to think about that. So let's say my average quarter hour is across the country in the 300,000 range or something. I don't know what the number may be, 300,000, 400,000. That means at any 15 minutes, there's that number of people tuning in and tuning out to the show. So that's the size of 3 football stadiums. Now, in that audience, the people who actually are going to call a show and then get through a call screener and get on the show, they don't represent the audience in the stadium. You know, so most of you actually just tune in and listen. You're not actually a caller to talk radio. And so if you start to think that talk radio is represented by callers, you're making a huge mistake, because it's not. Now, so what am I getting at? Nothing in particular. But I just want you to know that what you're about to hear on the radio show from people who call, as intelligent as some of them may be, it doesn't represent the overall audience. Or let us say, as absurd as some of them may sound, they don't represent the overall audience sitting and listening to radio or picking it up on a portable device. Okay? So that's one thing. I don't know if you even want to talk about it. I know I'm getting a lot of calls on false sexual harassment claims because this is like the Salem witch trials right now. This accusation against Roger Ailes stinks to high heaven. And let me tell you something else. I don't even know Roger Ailes. I never met him. And Roger Ailes probably hates me, by the way. And yet, when I see a story like this, I feel I want to comment on it because this is not atypical in the society we're living in right now. So I don't know Gretchen Carlson. I don't know Roger Ailes. But when I see sued for sexual harassment by ousted anchor Gretchen Carlson, to me it stinks to high heaven. Why didn't she say anything then? You know, and when I see a line like this, I think you and I should have had a sexual relationship a long time ago, and then you'd be good, and better, and I'd be good and better? What man seduces a woman with a line like that? It's not even fiction. It's bad fiction. It's garbage. Some idiot lawyer who went to night school, as I said before, could come up with that. But he's ruined already, which goes to my main point. This whole thing is a setup to get rid of Roger Ailes by people above my analysis. That's all you're hearing. I don't know the inside. I don't know the outside. You want to hear my analysis? I'll give it to you. Big people inside the network wanted to move him out, triggered this, pulled the trigger on this, telling her that she'd get something if she did this in order to push him out. Now, how do I know that's true? I don't. I'm using the intelligence of a detective. How could I determine whether what I just said has any validity? We'll soon find out. We'll find out in time if Gretchen Carlson winds up with another position at Fox before you know it, and if he actually leaves. That's number one. So again, that's the whole story. It's not the biggest thing. I know you want to hear about Hillary. That's all you want to hear. Hillary this, Hillary that, day and night. You want me to go to Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. I'll give you Hillary then. Do that too. Because I got a fantastic analysis of who she may have had. I almost said the wrong word. Who, as a result of her inappropriate behavior, may have been assassinated or executed. You see, that's the subtext of all of her email leaks. The spies who were identified inside some of her leaks with her private server. Spies who may have been captured and tortured because of her extreme carelessness of our genius Secretary of State. How do we know? How do we know how many spies are rotting in how many prisons around the world because of this server? Well, let's play a little Bob Dylan as I take my first break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, Savage.
So here we are. We're talking about this stuff. So I put this up on my Facebook at michaelsavage.com that the show is number one in New York City, which is a big deal. You see, in the old days of radio, you'd be allowed to boast about it and talk about it and own it. Like, hey, number one record. Hey, number one sports team. Now you have to hide it if you're a winner. Oh, hush, hush, don't tell anybody that. You're liable to offend somebody. So, okay, I'm telling you the truth. That's the truth. So I put it up on my Facebook account, the Savage number one in New York City in talk radio, which is a huge victory. Okay, you have no idea how tough this business is. And you have no idea what it's like to try to get where I got with no one helping you, with impediments every step of the way. You have no idea, but it doesn't matter. What matters is what people who listen to the show think. So listen to this. So there's all sorts of comments. So a guy named James Grohl writes, he has an amusing wit and is not owned by the right. The most interesting man on the planet, stay thirsty, my friends. I love that one. I really like that one, stay thirsty. I remember that guy, the most interesting man on earth, whoever that was. Why'd they dump him? Why'd they get rid of that guy, the beer guy? Where'd he go? Where could he go after that? He was at the peak of his career, then they got rid of him? They put some young guy in with abs? You know, like, abs are the whole thing, man. If you have abs, suddenly you're the best person on earth. And if you don't show your abs, there's something, you're inferior. What a sick society of vanity, like ancient Rome. I love all these guys with abs in their 30s. I said, like, you get back to me when you're 60. I'd like to see if you're still walking at 60. See, I'm going to go into a health thing one of these days. I'm not yet at the age where I can boast about health. I'm waiting until I'm 80 for that. And that's a long time from now. But I figure any man who boasts about his health before 80 is risking immediate death. But what I'm saying is a lot of guys think that they're great in their 20s and 30s. Maybe they are, but they usually burn out. And that's why I was playing the losers now will soon be the win. Because all the guys that I knew when I was younger were the athletes. They burned out. And it was the other guys who wound up on top. They became something. Now, how do you figure that out? How is it that all the guys who were pushed around and were nothing are suddenly the winners? And all the athletes are gone. It's just an interesting thing. I'm asking you a question about it. Tied into nothing.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The song that really comes to mind is that great scene out of Apocalypse Now. the Song of the Valkyries by Wagner with the machine guns going and the rockets shooting the natives. That was a lot of fun, that movie. But we're really talking about other topics, such as, have you ever been subject to a false sexual harassment claim? And I don't know, that's a pretty good topic, by the way, because right now, all a woman has to do, actually can go the other way today, is make a false accusation and you're finished. In other words, Jacques, that's all that was necessary during the French Revolution for the guillotine to fall. Same thing under communism. All you had to do was accuse someone of not being loyal to the Communist Party. Same thing in North Korea. All you was accuse someone of not being loyal to the fat slob who runs North Korea. The murderous, fat slob, psychopathic, homicidal maniac who runs North Korea, and your life is over. That's what you want to live with in America? Well, that's what you're living with because of the lawyers. Because of the lawyers and the out-of-control judges. Where's the justice in this country? So I think it's a very good topic, by the way, especially since Hillary is running as a champion of the poor, downtrodden woman. Like women are suddenly downtrodden in America. Where'd that myth come from? You know any women who are downtrodden? I don't. If a woman wants to get ahead in America, she does pretty good if she's got the brains to get ahead. What's this nonsense about oppressed this, oppressed that? The most oppressed member of society, as I've said before, and I'm willing to stand on this again, the most ridiculed, the most oppressed member of society today is the straight, heterosexual, white male Christian. Period. Period, end of story. Open season. The butt of every joke, every advertisement shows him as a fool. You don't hear that, though, too often, do you? It's sickening. It can make you sick. The whole world's upside down. It's all a big lie. So it leads to the question that I asked today, false accusations, and what it's done to you. And then I want to go into something really off the wall here, which is a little off the wall, but not 100%. You know, before I do a show, I make a prayer. You don't know that. The guys who work with me see me on the Skype screen, and I do make a quick prayer. And I say, God, I say things such as, and I can say it because God's listening anyway, and he says, I say to him, God, give me the strength to do this show today, to serve you and not make a moron of myself. And the guys laugh, but ask him if I don't say that. 3 hours on a tightrope with a microphone, that's my prayer. And it leads me to the statement that I was going to make, and a sort of statement question, which is why I occasionally look at a Bible in days like today. Are there any biblical truths that apply today? There are many. Now, and I have to modify it because I know we live in an a religious time. Not even an irreligious, but a religious. It's all laughed at. Ah, that's old stuff. Come on. Then you read the news. Syphilis epidemic amongst gays and bisexuals in England. Read the news. I didn't make up the news. What's the connection? You put the connection together. You put two and two together. So are there any truths in the Bible? I don't know. You have to decide for yourself. The Bible's been around a long time. It'll be around a long time after we're here. There must be some truths in it. Thou shalt not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of the people. Thou shalt not oppress thy neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear the God, for I am the Lord. What does that mean? They're trying to teach people more ethics and morals. So, in other words, if you take the prophets or the Bible itself as not a literal mandate from God, but as poetry written by smart men, in either case, it still makes sense. For example, and I'm going to get to your calls in a minute, I keep reading from Isaiah. I come back to the same one. If this doesn't talk about the President of the United States of America, I'd like to know what does. Isaiah, chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, a babe is their master, and women rule over them. That doesn't apply in America today? Women rule over them? So you say, well, what's wrong with women ruling over them? Take a look at Loretta Lynch. Tell me it's a wonderful thing that she's ruling over you. She's qualified to be attorney general like I am. I'm not a qualified to be an attorney general, nor is she. She was handpicked by the Clinton machine, and now you know why. And go on. And seven women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Take thou away our reproach. And I don't know what that means. Please don't call me with an interpretation. Because you know what it leads to? It leads to today and why the fundamentalist Muslims are rising around the world. Watch where I go with this. Follow the bouncing verse. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of destruction. Now, what do you think Isaiah was saying? He was saying he's living in a filthy time. The people were degenerates. They were sick to their hearts. They were like worse than animals in the gutter, running with each other like mice in heat, making a disgrace of the human body. And he said there would be punishment. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Is that not a reflection of our times? That change darkness into light and light into darkness. That change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. Well, here's one for me. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. See, we all have to watch out at the end of the day for our own ego. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And so what does all of this mean? What does it really mean? It means what you want it to mean. It means something to you if you want it to mean something to you. There are many good people who don't care about the Bible or God, and there are many bad people who read the Bible and are very bad anyway. Take a look at ISIS. They take women, young girls, Yazidi girls. They treat them worse than they do dogs. And they rape them repeatedly. They capture them. They use them as sex slaves. They rape them. They trade them. They sell them. And then they quote the Quran as their justification for doing so. Everything I just told you is true. Read about it. See the story that was linked up about the true face of the slaves that are being abused by the ISIS throwbacks or subhumans. Take a look at the poor girl's face, what happened to her in captivity. And some of them are happy that their sisters died rather than be raped anymore. And what are we doing about it? What is Obama doing about it? There are groups that are sending money trying to rescue these girls from captivity. There are actual groups raising money to rescue girls from the hands of these subhumans. And this is going on in a time here in America when people make up, oh, he looked at me wrong. Oh, he touched my back at work. That's worth $800 million. We've lost all balance, all concept of reality because of the lawyers, the legal system, and the judges, most especially because of the media, because they don't put two and two together. If you could run a story about the rape of the Yazidi girl at the same time saying, hey, let's knock off these fake sexual harassment lawsuits because they're an embarrassment in a time like this when there's real rape going on, real slavery going on, the auction of young girls going on. I don't want to hear this garbage anymore. But you don't read that anywhere. So you heard about it. And I told you that when I began the show, there were a number of topics that were floating around that I was balancing in my mind. And that they would all connect in some way, which they do. If you have an orderly mind that's rational, you can put all the pieces together. Because talk radio at the end of the day can be like a 10,000 word puzzle. And I had a lot of pieces of the puzzle laying on this desk before I started to ask the guys. I said, you know, I'm not in the mood to talk about Hillary again with it. But notice I did. I injected it. Because I'm the only one who told you that spies may have died. Have you heard that yet? Robert, have you read it anywhere? No. All of the discussions are legalistic discussions, again, devoid of any blood. No blood. No blood. So she, you want me to go back to that? The poor woman, Hillary Clinton? The poor picked upon woman, Hillary Clinton? Let's look at the emails, these thousands of emails. Some came to her and some were sent out. Secret email on her private, non-secure email server. Really? Well, some of the emails must have come from our spies. And I'm sure some of these spies have been identified by our enemies, given the nature of what they were sending to her, such as I am on X Street in Y City. And so then these spies get exposed to capture, are tortured and killed because of the carelessness of our Secretary of State at the time. How do we know this didn't happen? How do we know they haven't been cut loose and are not living in hell right now somewhere in the world because of her so-called carelessness? And the FBI director says this is not a crime. Some say it's more than just extreme carelessness, Mr. Comey. Some would say it was a dereliction of her own sworn duty. Yeah, well, anyway, you get the picture. So it fits together in some ways. Well, you could say it's a stretch in others. From sexual harassment claims to real torture, real rape, to Hillary Clinton's carelessness, it all fits in a certain way. I think I'll take a caller or two. It's only hour number one, and the times, they are a-changing, believe me. The world of the media is changing. The world of the media as you know it is changing. There's a war against conservatives going on, both overt and covert, that you won't know about until the time is right. WABC Frank, welcome to the program. What's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Thanks for taking my call, Michael. Excuse me. Approximately 8 or 9 years ago, I'm not exactly sure, it was when I first picked you up, when Nicholas Berg had his head cut off. And I heard you talking about it, and I heard the passion or compassion in your voice. I broke down crying.
I remember when we had the audio tape of the vermin cutting off Nick Berg's head and the screams that they released.
And I heard...
Yeah, I released that to the public because I couldn't believe we'd let this go on without retribution.
I said to myself, this is a man who has compassion for... human being, Michael Savage. So now, first...
Yeah, well, no one can accuse me of not feeling things, I'll tell you that.
Fast forward, Michael, to about 5 or 6 months ago, you were talking about how you always had a beard, and you said at one point you looked like a candlemaker in Pennsylvania, from eastern Pennsylvania. Well, I got to tell you, Michael, I laughed so hard, I had to get off the Long Island Expressway.
Yeah, I did. I do look like a candle maker from eastern Pennsylvania.
I said to myself, who says things like this but Michael Savage?
And I'm glad you enjoyed it. So I'm going to send you a copy of Teddy and Me, which is filled with not only great pictures but great wisdom. But wait, before you go, everyone listen to this. You're talking about retribution. You heard the phrase an eye for an eye, right? Tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Do you know where it comes from? Do you think it was made up by someone? It was made up by... Well, it's in Exodus, which is in the Bible. It's not a movie. Yes, it was a movie, but Exodus comes from the five books of Moses. It's in the Bible. And it's in this passage, if men strive together and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart, and yet no harm follow, he shall be surely fined, according as the woman's husband shall lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So it comes out of the Bible. And there's a lot of statements about punishment for crimes against people or crimes against animals. Would you believe that? But that's where an eye for an eye comes from. That's the opening to the Savage Nation, and we've just gotten started.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Here's a piece of breaking news. Russian spy ship now off Hawaii, U.S. Navy protecting critical information. I don't know, maybe the Russians are coming for surfing lessons. Maybe they want to go ashore and have a few Mai Tais. I don't know why this is a story. Undated photo of Russian spy ship Prebaltica with its old hull number. Sources confirm the ship is operating off the coast of Hawaii with the likely mission to monitor the U.S. Navy-led Rim of the Pacific exercise. Oh, that's a joke. U.S. Navy-led Rim of the Pacific exercise. Let's see. What could the Russians learn from our U.S. Navy? How to be more sensitive to transgenders, how to put in bathrooms for women on submarines, how to remove tubes for ballistic missiles for showers. This is insanity. What are they learning from our Navy? When has our Navy done anything recently under Admiral Obama? Bill on KBOI, what's your false accusation story?
Yeah, Mike, I had some drinks with a girl. Ends up about 5 months later, she accuses me of rape. I go into the sheriff, talk directly to him, tell him this is crazy. I have nothing on my record, Michael, nothing. Pure clean record, not even a misdemeanor. They arrest me. I spend 7 months in county jail. It was hell. They're threatening 20 years in prison. I got the most unbelievable female public defender. She asked me, did you do it? I said, no. She fought for me. I'm not kidding you, Mike. The week before my trial selection, a guy comes into the county jail, and I tell him my story, and he goes, man, she accused 8 other guys. And I said, what? And I go,
wait a minute. What county is this? What prosecutor is not in prison? Tell me the name of the prosecutor. He should be in jail.
Right? And you know,
the prosecutor should be in jail.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You're listening to the number one talk show, radio show in New York City. And I'm celebrating. And if I'm celebrating alone, so be it. I'm celebrating alone. And never forget that radio is a theater. Many people think that it's a soapbox. They forget that it's fundamentally a theater of the mind. And that's why I excel at sound, sound bites, music. Let alone, I mean, God gave me a musical voice. The truth is, voice is almost all of it. Connected to the brain. I mean, we live in such terrible times. 350 killed in 8 countries during Ramadan, a ding-dong. Linked to ISIS. Butchering fellow Muslims. Butchering them. Over what? No one even knows. The psychosis that is behind these people. Then you read former Fox News host Gretchen Carlson sues Roger Ailes for sexual harassment. Then you go 2 stories down on MichaelSavage.com and you see the picture. This is the face of the ISIS sex slave market. You want to see real harassment? You want to see a chilling picture of what happens to women when they are captured by these subhumans? Kanki Iraq, the advertisement on the Telegram app is as chilling as it is incongruous. A girl for sale is, quote, virgin, beautiful, 12 years old. Her price has reached $12,500 and she will be sold soon. Now, I want to know why these apps are permitted to operate. I want to know why Facebook doesn't close them down. I want to know why there are no controls over these greedy people who run these apps and these websites and let them use these smartphone apps to sell girls into sex slavery. Read the story and ask yourself a question of what kind of world you live in that Facebook, the postings appear primarily on Telegram and on Facebook and WhatsApp. Can anyone explain to me why Facebook, which owns WhatsApp and Telegram, permit this to go on when they say they use end-to-end encryption to protect users' privacy? Can you tell me why Mark Zuckerberg is allowed to get away with this? When both companies have said they consider protecting private conversations and data paramount, and that they themselves cannot access users' content, why they are not called on the carpet for this greed, this psychotic greed that they have? Telegram spokesman Marcus Ross says, Telegram is extremely popular in the Middle East. This, unfortunately, includes the more marginal elements and the broadcast law-abiding masses alike. So tell me why the abuse of the service is not controlled by Telegram and why Facebook permits this to go on when they close down conservatives who say anything that criticizes something that violates somebody's sensibilities at Facebook. Matt Steinfeld, a spokesman for WhatsApp, says this. Listen to this fool. Listen to this stupid college clown.
We have zero tolerance for this type of behavior and disable accounts when provided with evidence of activity that violates our terms. We encourage people to use our reporting tools if they encounter this type of behavior.
Let me read more of the article for those of you who are confused of how they're doing this and why they're letting them get away with this. Like the Bible, the article says, some passages of the Quran implicitly condone slavery, which was widespread when the Holy Book emerged. It also allows men to have sex with both their wives and, quote, those they possess with their right hands, close quote, taken by interpreters to refer to female slaves. And we're bringing people in who interpret the Holy Book in that manner? Are they vetting any of the Syrian refugees for the century in which they live? Are they vetting any of the African Muslims that they're bringing into Europe and America as to which of the Quranic dictates they believe in and which they don't believe in, such as if you see an infidel cut his throat? Do you have any idea what you're importing into your nation without such vetting? Now, in the 19th and early 20th centuries, most Muslim scholars backed the banning of slavery, citing other Quranic verses that they say freeing them is a blessing. But we learn that some hardliners continue to insist that under Sharia law, sex slavery must be permitted. However, the Islamic State group is the first in the modern era to bring it into organized practice. That's what they're doing in the Middle East. And what are we doing here in this country? Almost nothing. It's a terrible story. I saw it this morning on the New York Post. I linked it on michaelsavage.com. It's called This is the Face of the ISIS Sex Slave Market. And I have to congratulate the Associated Press for doing a superb job on this. I don't know what word to use on this story. How can the civilized world stand by while this Holocaust against girls goes on? And now you want me to point my finger at a certain group that should be doing more? I will be glad to do it. There are so many groups that scream from the rooftops about oppression, and they have little or nothing to say about this slavery, this abuse of young girls in the world. And what does it have to do with Hillary Clinton? I don't know. She doesn't talk about it. Maybe it has everything to do with Hillary Clinton, who's a liar. Crooked Hillary is a liar. She claims she represents women and children. Well, here are children being raped by ISIS. Has she mentioned it yet? How do we know what were on those servers? Were there any donations flowing in from Arabic lands that practice slavery, that practice Sharia law to go hush, hush, my darling? We wouldn't know, would we? Only the FBI would know, and I don't think they're going to tell us. Anything is possible in this world, as you well know, including buying favors at the highest levels of government, no matter how abominable the acts may be that are being conducted in your nation. You see, it's a pay-as-you-go society. And when there are no ethics, no morals, no scruples, anything is possible. But I do know this. Hillary Clinton is running as the candidate for women and children. Have you heard her speak out about the rape of young girls by ISIS and what she would do about it? Has she made that a campaign issue? I haven't heard it. Maybe I missed it. And that's why I think it's important to talk about all these topics together, because the times they are a-changing. So, Robert, play the times they are a-changing. Again, I invite you to call on all these topics, including, listen to clip number 4, where our commander-in-chief has this to say about our liar-in-chief, the would-be president, Hillary Clinton.
She offers a smarter approach that uses every element of American power to protect our people and to protect our allies. She is and will be a stateswoman who makes us proud around the world. She'll deploy diplomacy whenever possible, but she also knows what it takes to be a commander-in-chief, and I know she will never hesitate to use force when it is necessary to protect us.
Really, not one word on the Yazidi slave market, from this compassionate president of ours. Not one word from Hillary Clinton on it. Yeah, okay, you get the whole picture. It's all a pack of lies. So what are you going to do about it? Well, every 4 years we have a semblance of democracy in America, although if you can see the amount of money being spent, that's a joke unto itself. We live as serfs most of the time in this country, and every few years they come around and make believe we count, and they spend $1 billion, $2 billion to run for the presidency, a job that only pays $200,000+ a year. Have you ever done the math? Do you know anybody who would spend $2 billion to make $200,000? I haven't seen that anywhere. It's the same in San Francisco. I asked that question in the 90s when Dianne Feinstein ran for the Senate. I couldn't understand why she'd spend all that money to make 10 times less that money as a senator. And then, of course, it all came clear to me. You know why? Because the times, they are a-changing. This is the Savage Nation. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. A correction, by the way. The presidential salary is $400,000 a year, not $200,000. But Obama also gets a $50,000 annual expense account. He gets $100,000 for travel. $100,000 for travel. How much did Michelle spend on travel in the 8 years that she's abused her office? Obama gets $19,000 for entertainment. This is a joke. Yeah, they're all struggling to make $400,000 a year. That's what they want the job for, of course. That's what Hillary wants the job for. She's going to spend $2 billion to make $400,000 a year. She makes that, I think, giving one speech to Goldman Sachs, she made $375,000. One speech to the Saudi Arabian government, I think she made $375,000, according to reports I've read. The whole thing is a hilarious joke, our country. Who believes anything anymore? So that's why we're talking about other things, because at times they are a change, and people have awakened to what really is going on. We know that the FBI rewrote federal law to let Hillary off the hook. We can surmise that some people were really hurt by the leaks, like our spies who were left out in the cold through the emails. God knows if they're not suffering in a prison somewhere, or they're dead altogether. How come that hasn't been reported? Am I the only one? And so we're talking about other stuff, like, have you ever been falsely accused of sexual harassment? Because that's a big topic in America, and it's under the surface. And why am I talking about it? Well, because Hillary claims that she is a woman who's going to represent women and children. And yet I never hear her talking about real rape. I never hear her talking about real sexual slavery, as I have pointed out, in the Middle East. Not one word about the Muslims who are doing this. And they are a small minority of subhumans who are doing this, who interpret the Quran literally. I get that. How come she doesn't mention it, though, ever? Since they're using their holy book to justify this kidnapping and rape of Yazidi girls, for example. How come it's never talked about? That's why it's worth talking about. But there are other topics. I get it. And maybe you're bored already. Now you want to talk about other stuff. I don't know. I don't want to talk about the election really that much. I'm bored out of my mind from Obama. I'm bored out of my mind from Hillary. Oh, God, please. I got a lot of sound bites of Obama yesterday. Oh, here's a good one. Clip 7. Here's Obama. Here's Hillary boasting about Obama's success in giving Iran a path to a nuclear weapon. You're not going to believe this, but you have to hear it to believe. Clip 7.
It was his vision and diplomacy that secured a historic global agreement on climate change. Oh. Put a lid on Iran's nuclear program.
Liar.
Opened up Cuba and rallied the world to curb the spread of nuclear weapons.
Liar, liar, your pants are on fire.
I saw him go toe-to-toe with the toughest foreign leaders. And to give the order.
Turn it off. I can't take any more. Crooked Hillary speaking to Smoking Barry. Smoking Barry and Crooked Hillary got on a stage yesterday and told each other how great they were. So his vision is responsible for the Iran nuclear deal. That's something to celebrate? When Iran is celebrating that they're going to wipe Israel off the map again, saying they have 10,000 rockets aimed at Israel thanks to this deal? Oh, boy, is the world upside down. Everything is upside down. So we'll go to the callers. Let's go to KSFO Radio. Mike on line 8. Savage Nation, go ahead, please. Bob on line 8, say something. Okay, next case. Next case, a loss here. Let's go to WABC. Dina, line 3, go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. And, you know, I have to add that on your rating success, you're not celebrating alone. I appreciate your being the noble voice for people who think the way we do. So thank you. You do not celebrate alone.
Well, enjoy it while you can. What's on your mind today?
So, you know, you mentioned about Hillary and the feminists and only availing themselves to women. They really only make themselves available to women who have their leg accidentally brushed by their boss or something, not really looking to take on big things like, you know, the rape of these young girls, as you were talking about earlier. So it's really a shame. You know, it's a heterosexual male winks at you and, you know, you call a lawyer. But we're going to ignore the fact that these young girls are being sold and raped and tortured. It's just completely disgusting. So,
yeah, why doesn't Hillary talk about it and say that the Muslims have to rein in the Muslims and the so-called, whatever they call the guys with the leaders of the whole religion there? I forget what they're called. Not priests, not rabbis. I don't know their name, whatever they are. They justify it saying it's in the Quran. Well, by the 18th century, it was outlawed by Muslim scholars. Where are the Muslim scholars today getting up and saying you can't rape and you can't kidnap girls? It's against our laws. I don't hear that anywhere. Do you?
What happened in the 18th century is irrelevant to them because they're still living in the 7th century, right?
I understand, but Islam in many ways has actually retrograded. It's fallen back from its 18th century view, which was rather enlightened in some regard.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Based on the recommendation of General Nicholson, as well as Secretary Carter and Chairman Dunford, and following extensive consultations with my national security team, as well as Congress and the Afghan government and our international partners, I'm announcing an additional adjustment to our posture. Instead of going down to 5,500 troops by the end of this year, the United States will maintain approximately 8,400 troops in Afghanistan into next year through the end of my administration.
All right, so there's the peacenik, raising the troop levels in Afghanistan. Why are we in Afghanistan? That's an open question for the audience on the Savage Nation. I'm changing the subject now. Why are we in Afghanistan? Why is Obama increasing the number of troops in Afghanistan if he's an anti-war president? What is he doing it for? He says he's doing it to send the message to the Taliban. Listen to clip number 17. Listen to Mr. Obama's justification.
My decision today also sends a message to the Taliban and all those who have opposed Afghanistan's progress. You have now been waging war against the Afghan people for many years. You've been unable to prevail. Afghan security forces continue to grow stronger, and the commitment of the international community, including the United States, to Afghanistan and its people will endure.
Does anyone listening to the show think it's smart for us to have troops in Afghanistan? Because for the life of me, I don't know why we're still there. It's been going on for how many years now? 9, 10? It's like an endless war, an open book. Why are we bleeding financially? Why are we bleeding young lives for Afghanistan? Why? What's in it for us? Why is it the most important? What is important at all to our national security? Now, we're all trying to understand the most bizarre decision we've heard in our whole life, which we heard yesterday, not to indict Hillary Clinton for careless handling of classified material. That's after the FBI head James Comey said that it was a fact that she and her staff broke the law, but that he wouldn't bring charges. There was a schizophrenic news conference by Comey. In fact, they're considered more than schizophrenic. They're considered worrisome. He spent 15 minutes describing crimes being committed, and then he says no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute. Nobody in the world has ever heard anything like this.
It means that government workers can now do anything they want. So anyway, so we're trying to figure out who's in charge, why they're doing things, why are we in Afghanistan now becomes a question. On one hand, Obama says he's against war. On the other hand, he's leaving troops in Afghanistan. Why are they there? Does anyone know why we're there? Does anyone have an agreement that we should be there? WABC, New York City, where the show is number one. Sean, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, yeah, we're there because we can't get out, and he knows this.
Sir, you're breaking up. You have a cell phone on. What did you say? We can't get out?
We can't get out because he gets the briefings every morning, and he knows that we can't get out. As much as I disagree with us even being over there, it's a trap. Afghanistan is a place that superpowers go to die.
That is correct. The British got killed in Afghanistan. The Russians got destroyed. Their empire was broken because of Afghanistan. This country is coming apart because of many reasons, one of which is the endless war that is bleeding us dry. Why are we still there, though? What's the reason for it?
Because it's politically expedient for President Obama. Because the war is not over, like in Iraq. He's afraid of the same thing happening. You can't just call the game in the eighth inning because...
Okay. So in other words, after destroying Iraq by abruptly pulling our troops out and emboldening the enemies of the Iraqi government, he's afraid the same thing will happen here? Is that it? Well, what about the American people who say, let them all kill each other, I don't really care what they take over? What about that argument?
Well, I agree with that, only because it's not our problem. 9/11 was 15, 16 years ago, and we've been there ever since, and nothing has changed.
Yeah, but it wasn't the Afghanis who flew the planes into the World Trade Center. It was Saudis.
They were based there. It was a haven. And as far as the 8,500 troops, that's the number he is leaving there, he's thinning it out, you know, as least as possible, instead of sending in 50,000, so they're protected. Because now, by telling them the number of troops you have in the field, what is that? You're aiding and abetting the enemy. Now, see this, the politicians...
Yeah, why did he give out the exact number? That's another question. What, was he sending a signal to the enemy again?
He has to hand it to the peacenecks, the people...
Why did he say 8,400? Why didn't he say we're leaving a sizable contingent of troops sufficient to suppress the Taliban? Why would he give out exact troop numbers? You're raising a very important point. Did he do it again, send another signal to the enemy, once again, with one hand looking like one thing and with the other hand doing another? You raised a very important point, but what are we doing there to begin with?
We were there for the right reason, right after 9/11. It could have taken about 3 months if they took it seriously.
What do you mean, to hunt down Osama bin Laden, is that it?
Put pressure on him, keep him in the caves. Now they're playing it like it's Vietnam. Okay, we're just going to add another 20,000, and see, it's not 100,000, it's 20,000, so hey... We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're defending America. Instead of...
Oh, my God. Well, I don't know. As an American sitting here on a microphone in my safe America, living in San Francisco, I wonder why boys are being sent to die in Afghanistan for the Afghani government. I don't understand it. I study these things fairly well. It doesn't make sense to me why we're still there. Apparently, we haven't won the war because we don't want to win the war. What is the war about? Who are we fighting? Okay, we're fighting the Taliban. Who are the Taliban? What are we fighting them for? What do they want? What do we want? What's the end game of this game? I don't have an answer to that, but I'm sending you Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, only because it's such a pleasant escape from the problems of the world. But I have other questions out there. What are we doing there? Let's go to Kyle on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Kyle, why are we still in Afghanistan?
Dr. Savage, I was a United States Marine, and I was Motor T. I drove tactical vehicles on the battlefield. And during our briefs, we were told, you know, we cannot drive through poppy fields. Poppy fields are, you know, in the Helmand Province, they're covered. There's farms there. There's poppy. And what is poppy? What does poppy do? The Taliban want to destroy poppy seeds. They want to actually grow, you know, real food. But poppy seeds, they produce heroin. Heroin is 90% of the heroin production comes from Afghanistan. So what's going on in America? We have a heroin epidemic. In order for these methadone clinics, methadone pharmaceutical companies to make money, they need the heroin. So it all falls back to the pharmaceuticals, you know, all that money that they can make off of them. So we're just sustaining this war through, you know, some monetary gain.
I mean, look, I've heard the argument. It's a rather cynical argument.
It is.
The poppy produces opium. the opium, from the opium they extract morphine. Morphine is converted into 3,6-diacetyl morphine, which is heroin. I understand the whole chemical procedure, but I really cannot believe that our army has become a Hessian army to support the production of morphine.
I can't believe it either. I don't want to believe it, but I mean, 90% of the production of heroin comes from Afghanistan. It only makes sense with how evil things have gone with pharmaceutical companies. You know, all the epidemic in this country. Why can't we close the borders? If we close the borders, we will shut down more than half the drugs that flow into this country. I mean, rather than the ones that are already produced here, like the meth that's produced here in the southern and western states. It's all got to do with the money and the drugs. That's what I think.
You know, if I were given to paranoia, I would say that maybe you're right. But I can't let myself go there, because then it becomes a whole horror show. Then you would imply the drug dealers are running the world, and the drug dealers are electing the president of the United States. And I can't accept that. There has to be another element here that I'm not seeing.
Well, that's one of them. That is definitely one of the elements. It's got.
I know that Trump has said that when he builds the wall, he'll stop the flow of drugs into America. Didn't he say that?
Yeah, we need that.
He actually said that he would stop the flow of illegal immigrants and drugs. Didn't he say that?
He did. He said that he would stop the illegal flow of immigrants that are bringing in these vile people that bring drugs with them, and the market's there, so he wants to shut that market down and make America safe.
Well, he is a candidate who actually said that. I mean, it's a rather bold and brave statement of Donald Trump for him to even suggest it, because I don't hear that coming out of the great lady's mouth. All she does is repeat the same old homilies. Women, 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 children, 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 abortion, 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 global, 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 warming, warming, warming. How much can you listen to that nonsense? There's nothing there. There's no there there. All right, I'm sending you Government Zero. I think this is a fabulous topic, because the president said that he's pulling the troops not out of, but into Afghanistan. Listen to clip 16 now.
Now, as President Commander-in-Chief, I've made it clear that I will not allow Afghanistan to be used as safe haven for terrorists to attack our nation again. And that's why I constantly review our strategy with my national security team, including our commanders in Afghanistan.
Security team.
In all these reviews, we're guided by the facts, what's happening on the ground, to determine what's working and what needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why at times I've made adjustments. And I strongly believe that it is in our national security interest, especially after all the blood and treasure we've invested in Afghanistan over the years, that we give our Afghan partners the very best opportunity to succeed.
It's interesting. All the blood and treasure we've invested in Afghanistan, this sounds like the moronic generals in World War I, who after 1 million men were wasted in battles that were unnecessary, they said because of the 1 million men we've killed, we're going to kill another 1 million. See, we can't stop now. Send another young men to their graves. By the way, that's where the red poppy came from, as a symbol of the dead in World War I. Men wasted by old men who did it for vanity and no other reason. If you looked at the numbers of men who were slaughtered mercilessly in World War I, it's the same argument. Because we've lost 1 million men, you know, you could say the flower of Europe was killed in World War I if you really want to get into it. Germans butchering English, French butchering Germans, New Zealanders dying by the tens of thousands, Australians, the best, dying for nothing. All these farm boys sent all the way around the world to die at Gallipoli because of Winston Churchill's, at the time, insane desire to defeat the Turks at Gallipoli. Old men killing young men in the name of ego and madness. And so you say, well, we killed 1 million men so far, and because of all the blood and treasure we've given, we can't stop now. So let another 1 million men run into the machine gun fire, because we can't stop now. I think it's time to pull our men out of Afghanistan, personally. Do you? I'll be right back to take your calls on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN.
Michael Savage, weekdays from noon to 3 on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Based on the recommendation of General Nicholson, as well as Secretary Carter and Chairman Dunford, and following extensive consultations with my national security team, as well as Congress and the Afghan government and our international partners, I'm announcing an additional adjustment to our posture. Instead of going down to 5,500 troops by the end of this year, the United States will maintain approximately 8,400 troops in Afghanistan into next year through the end of my administration.
Very nice. So we're going to stay there, and more men are going to die. For what reason? And that's what we're talking about. We shifted from the other topics to a very important one, which is, why are we in Afghanistan? And I've heard all the arguments, and none of them make sense to me. I really don't want to believe, maybe I don't want to believe, that our military has become a Hessian force to make sure the opium crop gets to market. I don't believe it. I just don't want to believe that's the only reason. Look at the empires that have been broken in the invasions of Afghanistan, and you don't have to go further than what happened to the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. Now, it is true that Ronald Reagan sent Stinger missiles and other weapons to the Taliban to shoot down the Russian helicopters, because we were engaged in the Cold War at the time. I suppose it made sense from the point of view of the Cold Warrior to destroy the Russian military in Afghanistan. So we supplied weapons to the so-called insurgents in Afghanistan. I remember reading some of these macho military magazines at the time, and we were glorifying the so-called Afghan freedom fighters. They were holding our weapons, and they were shooting down Russian helicopters, capturing Russian troops, etc. So now we're there. We're now the Russians, and I don't think we're winning in Afghanistan. What are we winning? What actually are we winning? And who is supporting the Taliban right now? Who's supplying the Taliban with weapons? Should I look into that and find out the Russians are now giving them weapons to shoot down our helicopters? Is that what's going on? Again, a proxy war, again, the Soviet Union and the United States over Afghanistan? I don't know. All I know is, why are we there? I mean, the only question I have is, why are we there? We know that Afghanistan has always been strategically important throughout history. That we know. It was once seen as a gateway to India. It impinged on the ancient Silk Road, which, as you remember, probably carried trade from the Mediterranean to China. So Afghanistan sits on many trade and migration routes. Is that the reason that we are having young men die there? Why are we still there? What will be the end of this occupation, so to speak? We're not running Afghanistan. What are we doing there? Does anyone know why we're there and why we should still be there? What do we have there that we need? Why is Obama, the anti-war president, announcing that he's not winding it down to 5,500 troops, but leaving about 8,400, which, again, he made a mistake, by, in my opinion, by announcing the number of troops? Why would he do that? These are very important questions, and I'd like to know your answers. Let's take one quick call. WJR in Detroit. Dave, line one. What's the reason we're there, Dave?
From what I can gather on it, there's a whirlwind of money to be made by the contractors, the companies that are doing the contracting for services that are provided to our troops over there, also for the contractors that are training and advising the Afghans.
So, in other words, it's war for war's sake, because it's good business for the big companies that are in the contracting business? This sounds like why we're being flooded with illegal aliens, because a few greedy pigs are making money, feeding them, housing them, servicing them, teaching them. The same reason these lobbyists are now dictating our foreign and domestic policy. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
I guess that's the answer. See, there's no reason to anything anymore. Nothing. Whoever makes the money then dictates to the stooges called congressmen why we're there. And then the chief stooge, they tell them, leave troops in there because it's good for business. Great. Have a nice day. Thanks for making the show number one in New York City. God bless America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Today's decision best positions my successor to make future decisions about our presence in Afghanistan. In January, the next U.S. president will assume the most solemn responsibility of the commander-in-chief, the security of the United States and the safety of the American people. The decision I'm making today ensures that my successor has a solid foundation for continued progress in Afghanistan,
yeah.
As well as the flexibility to address the threat of terrorism as it evolves.
Right. Solid progress. All right. So that's what we're talking about now. We've gone from one topic to the other. So the president says he's leaving 8,400 troops there, and he's throwing it to the next president, who he hopes will be Hillary. And I'm asking a simple question as an American citizen, talk show host. My job is to ask questions, to be the host, in other words, of talkers. You're the talkers. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking here about. Why are we in Afghanistan? Why is this not an important topic? Why are we in Afghanistan? Do you know when we went into Afghanistan militarily? On October 7, 2001. How many years ago was that? 16 years ago, almost? The U.S., supported by some NATO nations, invaded Afghanistan under Operation Enduring Freedom, and it was launched to capture Osama bin Laden, who was accused of the September 11, 2001 attacks. Period. We're still there 15 years later, 16 years later. Why? Why? Why are we in Afghanistan? They asked that question about why are we in Vietnam. Remember that one back in the 60s? Liberals said, why are we in Vietnam? I don't need the liberals asking Obama, why are we in Afghanistan? Where are they now, Coach Stinko? Where is the guava on the jungle floor, Coach Stinko? Where are they now? Where are they? Why are they not screaming, get out of Afghanistan? We're marching against Republicans, that's why. So if you look at the turbulent history of Afghanistan, going all the way back, and you see one tribe, one nation after another conquered areas, and then the whole country was not originally a Muslim nation. If you look at the history, when was Islam brought to Afghanistan? When did Afghanistan, as we know it, even come into existence? It wasn't until 1747, when local Pashtun tribes united to fight for independence from the Persian Empire. They were dominated at the time by the Persians. And then in the 19th and 20th centuries, we saw Afghanistan under British rule. Well, what happened to Britain in Afghanistan? They were driven out. They lost so many men and so many resources. What happened to the Soviet Union when they tried to conquer these tribal people? Soviet Union was broken on the back of Afghanistan. What's happening to the United States in Afghanistan? Are we winning? And this is not diminishing the bravery of the men who are giving their lives and spending every waking minute fighting the Taliban. But why are we there? Why are we supporting the nation of Afghanistan? I don't have an answer to it. We've heard answers ranging from we're there because it's a narco state. Another guy is a contractor, and he called and he said because the contractors are dictating why we're there, because there's so much money being made on supporting our troops and rebuilding the culture and the societies. Are these the reasons that you make a foreign policy decision such as this? I don't have an answer for you. But I do know that here's Obama posing as an anti-war president, saying he's leaving 8,400 troops there. Why is he leaving them there? What does Hillary have to say about Afghanistan? What does Donald Trump have to say about Afghanistan? What do you have to say about this? Let's go to KSFO, my hometown. Manny on KSFO. Why are we in Afghanistan, Manny?
I'm an economist. There are three economic concepts here. One is to remember is I hear these people calling in about war and investments. The macroeconomics, war is never good for the economy. The dead people are lost investment. They will never consume goods and services ever again. Every resource that goes into war had an opportunity cost that could have gone into something else. So most economists do not believe that war is good for the macroeconomics. But there are two other concepts here. One is sunk cost. It's why does a guy stay in a bad marriage after 17 years? Why do you stay in a career you hate? Because you are so invested, and you're looking for to get out, but you want to have something to show for it. Now, the sad thing is you can predict the winner in a situation like this. Why were the British never going to win the Revolutionary War? Why were we never going to win the Vietnam War? Because no matter how much more we invest, the other side has no option but to invest in equal amounts. The people in Afghanistan are not going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
People in Vietnam, just like the American colonists. In this situation, you can predict that in the end, the Afghans will be in Afghanistan. We will not. We are just looking for a point to get out, like Nixon, when we signed the peace accords in Vietnam, that we can kind of claim something other than defeat. Now, that's the last concept. It's called the unknown variable. And the unknown variable explains in economics, which is satisfying needs and wants, that it's not, we don't need to be there. It's not essential. So we there must be a desire. Now, this is the thing. Why would a 29-year-old guy marry an 84-year-old woman? To most people, it's not rational. I call it sticking your hand in a beehive and not wanting to pull it out. To me, Afghanistan is a beehive. We've got a hand in there. We've been there for years. There's nothing in there for us but death and waste. Okay? The Chinese and the Russians are thrilled that we're there. But we're afraid to pull our hand out because we'll look stupid. We will have to admit that we were defeated. You just need a strong leader to call it something else, redeployment, whatever, and get out of there.
Manny, you're a brilliant man. I've listened to you. I'm captivated by your entire capsule summary. Huh? You know, what Obama is doing in announcing the military buildup and saying that he's leaving 8,400 troops there, he seems like he's making the situation even worse, Manny. I think you'd agree with me, right?
Weakness. It's weakness. It's not strength. We need a leader who will go in there and say, look, this is the story. You go in there, you do what you have to do. We should have left the day after we knocked that freaking statue down in Iraq. Okay? The same thing in Afghanistan. You know, you put a dictator in place and you get out of there, and better than democracy is something called stability. Okay? There is no stability in the Middle East. Never mind democracy. You think they're going to vote when they're killing each other in the streets? Nothing there makes any economic sense. But these people don't listen to true economists. Most economists would agree with everything I'm telling you right now. Okay? I teach.
Manny, do you teach economics?
Yes, I do, and I teach political science. In Brentwood, California.
No, you're pretty smart from my point of view. I mean, you're very smart.
No queen.
And I'm not even going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you what your politics are because it doesn't matter to me. What you just said made great sense to me.
It does. And well, my politics is this: we have a choice. There's going to be we have a choice. Every choice comes down to two people. And right now, we have to choose between Hillary and Trump. And as an economist, I don't like a lot of things that Trump talks about. Some of his things don't make sense. Okay, and I'll be honest with you. If you want me to come on, I'll explain it. He has four weak points in his economics. But from the standpoint of choosing between the two, obviously I'm backing Trump. And I'm a New Yorker who doesn't actually care for Trump. But I'm backing Trump.
A typical New York answer. It's parsed, and then you come to a strong conclusion anyway. So what about Hillary's economics? What do you think about her?
Look at the situation. We've gone through 8 years. Do we want to continue this? You know, they've been pillaging. This is looting worse than a third world country. $200 billion has gone into this global warming scam. Okay? You look at, there was one company that Obama gave $3 billion to based in Spain. Okay? Guess who one of the founders was that company? A guy named Al Gore. Another guy named Richardson, right? The former governor of New Mexico. $3 billion has now disappeared. The company has gone bankrupt. Of course, before it went bankrupt, they found a way to donate money to the Clinton Foundation. You know, these solar companies, they get all this government money. Meanwhile,
it sounds like you ought to write a paper about the solar companies connected to San Francisco politicians. That would be worthy of a telephone book.
This scam has got to end. And, you know, even with this FBI thing, you know, I'm not happy with the whole Hillary thing, but I will elect Trump just because he can then go ahead with charges. You know, there's nothing to say there if we get in. But here, I'm going to tell you the economics of this election.
All right. So look, as an economist, you deal with statistics. So that's based upon rationality rather than opinion. As a statistician in part, what are the odds that Trump can beat Hillary given the odds against him?
It's not this odds. I'm going to tell you, it has to do with incentives. Incentives always work. Who has the greatest incentives? And right now, the Democratic Party has been looting this country, and that's going to come to an end. And the solar people and these global warming nuts are going to pull out all the stops to win. Not only that, but you have all these Eric Holders, you have this Loretta Lynch, you have all these people in the Democratic Party that if a Republican wins, some of them might be wearing stripes, okay? They have every incentive They are so motivated not to lose this election. It's going to get ugly, okay? And what Trump has got to do, what people have got to do, is they have to have stronger incentives. If they don't have stronger incentives, like, you know, this, if the incentives could be positive or negative. And the Democrats are going, they're going to play up to Trump's character because they don't want to talk about the economy. They don't want to talk about the other thing. Trump has got to stay on message. If he stays on message, he'll win. But if he allows them to make the debate, they always make the debate something else, Romney's dog on top of his car, something like that. And that's to change the nature of the discussion. And the minute Trump answers back, now that is open discourse. And we're not discussing the issue.
Okay? Manny, I'll tell you the truth. You're so good that I'm listening to you without talking. I'm going to invite you to become a fill-in talk show host.
Hey,
I bet you'd like to try it one of these. I'm not kidding. You're good. You're very good because you know what you're talking about, and you also have the ability to say it.
Know about what's going on in history, read the book Victory of the West, okay? It will tell you what's going on. How
Manny,
is,
listen. Manny, no, you're too... I got to stop talking. I'm going to sit down a minute and turn the radio on and just listen to Manny. Manny, I never... You never called a show before, have you?
No, I used to go on KSO with Gene Burns years ago, sometimes with him. And,
yeah, Gene was a nice guy before. I met him a few times when I was in that building. He was a nice guy. But... Manny, you should call the show regularly. I want Jim to take your phone number. You got to be a regular guest on the show.
Anytime, anytime, Mike. I've been listening to you for many, many years. My son is a college student. He's a fan of yours. He's in Arizona. I've been listening to you. I'm from Richmond Hill, Queens. I'm not Jamaica High School. I know Jamaica. My brothers went to...
But with an accent like yours, how'd you get ahead in the world of California? Because they discriminate against New Yorkers.
I came out here to do some venture capital. And I'm an immigrant.
No, there's such discrimination against New Yorkers in California. It's a laughable matter. They're very, very, provincial out here. You know that.
No, believe me, but you'll be surprised. I was just a representative in the teachers union out here. So what did that tell you? But, you know, my grandfather never went to high school. And my parents, both of them never graduated high school. And I teach economics. And I not only taught high school and economics and AP courses, my son has even gone further with his master's. And that's what America is. It's opportunity. It's not outcome. We don't guarantee you. What we guarantee you is you will have a shot at success. You know, we're always going to have poverty in this country. And the reason we have poverty in this country is why hospitals always have sick people. That's what I tell my students. People come here to get cured. You come to America to cure yourself of poverty. You're not supposed to come here for the handouts. You're supposed to come here for the opportunity. That's what this country stands for, okay? And that's why I teach my classes.
Manny, you're a heck of a teacher. Let's have a round of applause for Manny the Economist. Manny, very inspiring on this day that I'm celebrating being number one talk show host in New York City for June, Manny. I really appreciate this. Manny, do you listen to talk radio in general?
Yes, I do. I try to listen to it about an hour a day, I read a lot. I read, but I don't like American news. You know, our news is run by the entertainment division.
You know, when I want news, I turn to Japanese news or Russian news. Now, I know it's biased. I understand the bias, but it's intelligent, and it also satisfies my intellectual craving because of the level of language that is used by most of the guests.
Spanish news, and in 4 minutes, the news in Spain will give you everything going on in the world. American news will tell you who's on Jimmy Kimmel tonight. They're like, look over there, there's two L's.
Well, because they're co-represented by the same holding company. And the women on Fox News, I mean, they really ought to put a skirt on now and again. It's getting to be embarrassing. Have you noticed the skirt, the hemline has gone up as their ratings have been challenged?
Sure, well, that's what it is. It's all entertainment. It's what, you know, Disney is involved in it. You know how it is. And it's
I know. They sit there shaking the shoe with the skirt up to their crotch and supposed to take them seriously. And the next thing you read is, oh, my, Roger Ailes sexually harassed me. Yeah, what a story that is, huh?
And that's what makes the front page. That's what makes... And the American people are supposed to be so dumb. But see, the American people will sometimes surprise you. Just like the people what happened in Britain with the exit. You know,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't hear from the American people who know what's going on. Manny, stay on the air for a little. I'm going to ask Manny a few more questions. He's such a great caller. We'll be back to give you some new news and Manny's answer right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. All right, so we're talking about why are we in Afghanistan. Now, the Afghan government is known as among the most corrupt in the world. That's number one. Let's not put them on a pedestal. How many dead men must we bury until we finally say enough is enough? How many United States troops have died or been maimed in Afghanistan? Well, we know there are 22,000 or more wounded. We know that. That's just in the U.S. How many were killed? 27,000 have been killed of alliance troops. 27,000. How many civilians have been killed total since the war began? And so the total killed in Afghanistan is over 50,000 people. Afghan security forces have lost over 25,000 men. Northern Alliance, hundreds dead. So it doesn't matter the exact numbers. Why are we there is the question. Why is Obama leaving troops there? Remember, on May 2nd, 2011, the great commander-in-chief ordered the United States Navy SEALs into Afghanistan, and they killed Osama bin Laden and Abbottabad, whatever it's called, Pakistan. Why didn't we leave after that? If the reason for entering Afghanistan was to get Osama bin Laden, who created 9/11, why didn't we leave Afghanistan shortly thereafter he was found and executed? In May of 2014, the United States announced that its combat operations would end in 2014. And now we hear that he's ramping it up to more troops. Tens of thousands of people have been killed in the war. Why are we still there? Well, Manny, we're running out of time. I'm going to send you Government Zero for being such a great guest. I hope you call regularly. We're going to find your number. The guys are going to hold your number. We'll have you on again. For those of you who are listening to the program, today is ratings day in the radio business. And the first market that came in was New York City. And I am number one in New York for June of 2016 in talk radio. And I want to thank you for your support in all the markets across America. So I put this up on my Facebook at michaelsavage.com that the show is number one in New York City, which is a big deal. You see, in the old days of radio, you'd be allowed to boast about it and talk about it and own it. Like, hey, number one record. Hey, number one sports team. Now you have to hide it if you're a winner. Oh, hush, hush, don't tell anybody that. You're liable to offend somebody. So, okay, I'm telling you the truth. That's the truth. So I put it up on my Facebook account, the Savage number one in New York City in talk radio, which is a huge victory. Okay, you have no idea how tough this business is. And you have no idea what it's like to try to get where I got with no one helping you, with impediments every step of the way. You have no idea, but it doesn't matter. What matters is what people who listen to the show thing. So listen to this. So there's all sorts of comments. So a guy named James Grawl writes, he has an amusing wit and is not owned by the right. The most interesting man on the planet, stay thirsty, my friends. I love that one. I really like that one, stay thirsty. I remember that guy, the most interesting man on earth, whoever that was. Why'd they dump him? Why'd they get rid of that guy, the beer guy? Where'd he go? Where could he go after that? He was at the peak of his career, then they got rid of him? They put some young guy in with abs? You know, like, abs are the whole thing, man. If you have abs, suddenly you're the best person on earth. And if you don't show your abs, there's something, you're inferior? What a sick society of vanity, like ancient Rome. I love all these guys with abs in their 30s. I said, like, you get back to me when you're 60. I'd like to see if you're still walking at 60. See, I'm going to go into a health thing one of these days. I'm not yet at the age where I can boast about health. I'm waiting until I'm 80 for that, and that's a long time from now. But I figure any man who boasts about his health before 80 is risking immediate death. But what I'm saying is a lot of guys think that they're great in their 20s and 30s. Maybe they are, but they usually burn out. All the guys that I knew when I was younger were the athletes. They burned out. And it was the other guys who wound up on top. They became something. Now, how do you figure that out? How is it that all the guys who were pushed around and were nothing are suddenly the winners, and all the athletes are gone? And that leads me to a question. Here's the question. You know, it's said that politics is war without bloodshed, and war is politics without bloodshed. None other than the butcher, Chairman Mao, said that. Listen to that one. Politics is war without bloodshed, and war is politics without bloodshed. Well, right now, we are all in a political war, as you well know. Everyone that is a conservative is under assault and under attack. Do you see a pattern of trying to take out top conservatives in America? I do. And there's no better example than that of the story Fox News' Roger Ailes sued for sexual harassment by ousted anchor Gretchen Carlson. Now, I have to ask you something. The woman works for the network all these years, and then finally they dismiss her, and then suddenly it's, oh, my, he sexually harassed me. It stinks. The whole story looks like garbage. According to the complaint, when Carlson met with Ailes to discuss the discriminatory treatment to which she says she was being subjected, Roger Ailes stated, I think you and I should have had a sexual relationship a long time ago, and then you'd be good and better, and I'd be good and better. Now, who in the world speaks like that, other than a lawyer who went to the fourth grade and got a night school law degree? The whole thing stinks. And I'll tell you something else. We're living in a stinking world right now, that all a woman has to do is make up a story and get a shyster lawyer and bring a man down. Whether he's guilty or innocent, he's already guilty. It's sickening. This is like the Salem witch trials right now. This accusation against Roger Ailes stinks to high heaven. And let me tell you something else. I don't even know Roger Ailes. I never met him. And Roger Ailes probably hates me, by the way. And yet, when I see a story like this, I feel I want to comment on it because this is not atypical in the society we're living in right now. So I don't know Gretchen Carlson. I don't know Roger Ailes. But when I see sued for sexual harassment by ousted anchor Gretchen Carlson, to me it stinks to high heaven. Why didn't she say anything then? You know, and when I see a line like this, I think you and I should have had a sexual relationship a long time ago, and then you'd be good and better, and I'd be good and better. What man seduces a woman with a line like that? It's not even fiction. It's bad fiction. It's garbage. Some idiot lawyer who went to night school, as I said before, could come up with that. But he's ruined already, which goes to my main point. This whole thing is a setup to get rid of Roger Ailes by people above my analysis. That's all you're hearing. I don't know the inside. I don't know the outside. You want to hear my analysis? I'll give it to you. Big people inside the network who wanted to move him out triggered this, pulled the trigger on this, telling her that she'd get something if she did this in order to push him out. Now, how do I know that's true? I don't. I'm using the intelligence of a detective. How could I determine whether what I just said has any validity? We'll soon find out. We'll find out in time if Gretchen Carlson winds up with another position at Fox before you know it, and if he actually leaves. That's number one. So again, that's the whole story. Because, you know, Hillary's running as Miss Woman. The poor, underprivileged, oppressed woman, Hillary Clinton, and she's going to make it better in America for all the quiet, suppressed women in America. She's really running for the women and children. That's all you want to hear. Hillary this, Hillary that, day and night. Well, Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. I'll give you Hillary then. Do that too. Because I got a fantastic analysis of who she may have had. I almost said the wrong word. Who, as a result of her inappropriate behavior, may have been assassinated or executed? You see, that's the subtext of all of her email leaks. The spies who were identified inside some of her leaks with her private server. Spies who may have been captured and tortured because of her extreme carelessness of our genius Secretary of State. How do we know? How do we know how many spies are rotting in how many prisons around the world because of this server? There's so much else on my mind. I want to go into something really off the wall here, which is a little off the wall, but not 100%. You know, before I do a show, I make a prayer. You don't know that. The guys who work with me see me on the Skype screen, and I do make a quick prayer. And I say, God, I say things such as, and I can say it because God's listening anyway, and he says, I say to him, God, give me the strength to do this show today, to serve you and not make a moron of myself. And the guys laugh, but ask him if I don't say that. 3 hours on a tightrope with a microphone, that's my prayer. And it leads me to the statement that I was going to make, and a sort of statement question, which is why I occasionally look at a Bible in days like today. Are there any biblical truths that apply today? There are many. Now, and I have to modify it because I know we live in an a-religious time. Not even an irreligious, but a-religious. It's all laughed at. Ah, that's old stuff. Come on. Then you read the news. Syphilis epidemic amongst gays and gays and bisexuals in England. Read the news. I didn't make up the news. What's the connection? You put the connection together. You put two and two together. So are there any truths in the Bible? I don't know. You have to decide for yourself. The Bible's been around a long time. It'll be around a long time after we're here. There must be some truths in it. Thou shalt not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of the people. Thou shalt not oppress thy neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. But thou shalt fear the God, for I am the Lord. What does that mean? They're trying to teach people more ethics and morals. So, in other words, if you take the prophets or the Bible itself as not a literal mandate from God, but as poetry written by smart men, in either case, it still makes sense. For example, I keep reading from Isaiah. I come back to the same one. If this doesn't talk about the President of the United States of America, I'd like to know what does. Isaiah, chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, a babe is their master, and women rule over them. That doesn't apply in America today. Women rule over them. So you say, well, what's wrong with women ruling over them? Take a look at Loretta Lynch. Tell me it's a wonderful thing that she's ruling over you. She's qualified to be attorney general like I am. I'm not qualified to be an attorney general, nor is she. She was handpicked by the Clinton machine, and now you know why. And go on. And seven women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Take thou away our reproach. And I don't know what that means. Please don't call me with an interpretation. Because you know what it leads to? It leads to today and why the fundamentalist Muslims are rising around the world. Watch where I go with this. Follow the bouncing verse. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of destruction. Now, what do you think Isaiah was saying? He was saying he's living in a filthy time. The people were degenerates. They were sick to their hearts. They were like worse than animals in the gutter, running with each other like mice in heat, making a disgrace of the human body. And he said there would be punishment. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Is that not a reflection of our times? That change darkness into light and light into darkness. That change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. Well, here's one for me. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. See, we all have to watch out at the end of the day for our own ego. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And so what does all of this mean? What does it really mean? It means what you want it to mean. It means something to you if you want it to mean something to you. There are many good people who don't care about the Bible or God, and there are many bad people who read the Bible and are very bad anyway. Take a look at ISIS. They take women, young girls, Yazidi girls. They treat them worse than they do dogs. And they rape them repeatedly. They capture them. They use them as sex slaves. They rape them. They trade them. They sell them. And then they quote the Quran as their justification for doing so. Everything I just told you is true. Read about it. See the story that was linked up about the true face of the slaves that are being abused by the ISIS throwbacks or subhumans. Take a look at the poor girl's face, what happened to her in captivity. And some of them are happy that their sisters died rather than be raped anymore. And what are we doing about it? What is Obama doing about it? There are groups that are sending money trying to rescue these girls from captivity. There are actual groups raising money to rescue girls from the hands of these these subhumans. And this is going on in a time here in America when people make up, oh, he looked at me wrong. We've lost all balance, all concept of reality because of the lawyers, the legal system, and the judges, most especially because of the media. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Based on the recommendation of General Nicholson, as well as Secretary Carter and Chairman Dunford, and following extensive consultations with my national security team, as well as Congress and the Afghan government and our international partners, I'm announcing an additional adjustment to our posture. Instead of going down to 5,500 troops by the end of this year, the United States will maintain approximately 8,400 troops in Afghanistan into next year through the end of my administration.
All right, so we close the show with the question I opened this hour with, why are we in Afghanistan? And we've had some amazing callers on the subject. We have another amazing caller right now out of Colorado, KVOR Radio. Steve, why are we in Afghanistan? Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Long story short, there is an Islamic State presence there. It's the Islamic State of Khorasan province. It's basically their branch in that region. They don't have a great presence. The Taliban is still much more powerful. However, they do have a foothold in southeast Afghanistan. If you're in Jalalabad City, you're about a day's drive away from Islamabad and Pakistan's nuclear arsenal. If we were to open up a power vacuum similar to what we did in Iraq, wouldn't be talking about just, you know, the medieval tribal mountain men of the Taliban taking over, who are really only interested in their little valley and their tribal connections. You'd be opening the door to the Islamic State rolling through that region, and instead of just picking up American Humvees and American tanks, they eventually could roll through into Pakistan, into through the tribal area, which they're already established in, and they could get access to a nuclear weapon.
That is the most brilliant analysis I've ever heard or read, Steve. Now, I see on the board that you're actually a soldier. Did you fight there?
I don't want to talk about my profession, if you get my drift, but I've been there a couple times, and I'm probably going there again. I'll put it that way.
Well, but this analysis that we're there in Afghanistan to prevent ISIS from taking over the region of Afghanistan that borders with Pakistan, which if they do, they would then take over the nukes of Pakistan, makes great sense to me. I've not seen that anywhere, Stephen.
And so on top of that, if you look at, the fatalist Islamic, their prophecy, they prophesize that black flags will fly over Khorasan before their version of Armageddon. Well, Khorasan is the region of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and basically India. And their black flags are flying there now. So they're starting to see a prophecy that they're interested in.
So by what you're saying, Obama actually listened to the generals and did the right thing?
I believe so. And like I said, I'm trying to get back over there again, keep doing what I do.
Well, Steve, how many troops do you think it would take? Is 8,400 enough?
It depends on where the focus is. If you're looking at soft, if you're looking at special operations,
I hear you. Well, anyway, we got to continue this at another time. Steve, I'm sending you a Government Zero, which I think you'll find interesting in part, but not up to your level in other parts, because you know a lot more than I do about Afghanistan, and I think you've answered the $64,000 question, which is, why are we in Afghanistan? I am satisfied with your answer. How do you like that? You see, you can learn something new every day if you ask the right question and you have an open mind. Thank you for making the show number one in talk radio in New York City. We'll see what happens tomorrow. God bless America.